I didn't have a whole lot to, or a theme really, or anything, and so I really didn't have anything thought of or spend too much time on it. I guess I got jumped on a little bit by trading out with someone as well, but it's not our problem. I usually don't stay on top of it or don't really have a whole lot of a subject. But yesterday as we went out preaching, I was thinking about like endurance or how to encourage one another to good works and kind of along those lines. And so I decided I'd read, I was looking around for different things, and I decided I'd just read the words of Christ in Revelations to the seven churches. And also we were talking with a man there in Springfield, and he was saying how we should use discernment, but it seemed like he was wanting to base his discernment off of himself, or like he was not basing his foundation on the rock, even though I think, you know, we need to use our discernment. He was, I guess he was raised in Messianic Jews, I believe, pretty hardcore. And so he was just warning us not to be, you know, trapped in into a system and, you know, just like obey your leaders and don't, he's just warning against that. Or he probably thought we were, but I don't know. But that's what he was telling us is, you know, do not, you know, you got to think for yourself. You can't just close your eyes and blindly follow the leaders in authority. Which, I mean, I feel like I, or we here try to do that. Other than maybe blindly follow what Christ taught us. If I can say it that way. Alright, so Revelations chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the first love you had, the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have found a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. You also have some who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, the words of the sons of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, and faith, and service, and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality, and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. Even as myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shut, and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, yet you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's all I had in mind to read, and I just wanted to encourage us all to continue and not give up. To encourage one another to good works, and because I think we need each other. We can see each other's faults and help each other overcome them. God bless you all.
Amen, Brother Walter. And there's no better devotion than just reading the scriptures by itself. It stands by itself. If we are, in fact, judged by Jesus' words, which he does say in John 12, and if John is the same person who wrote this, blessed he that reads and that hears the words of this prophecy to obey them. And so there's it's not talking about millions and trillions and all that. It's talking about forever, eternity. So it's very important. Thank you for admonishing us with those words. In most of them, as we know, just a quick point there, it says in all, when the angel speaks, I know your works. I know your works. Well, apparently he hasn't read Calvin and Luther's Faith Alone, because he knows our works. And he hasn't understand the finished work of Christ, that our works would be foolish to do it, but it's a life and death thing. And it wasn't once saved, always saved. Bless you, Brother Walter, for reading that and admonishing us.
I guess I had a thought that one of the scriptures that jumped out at me is that in the admonitions to the church in Laodicea, verse 19, I think this is important for us to, I think we all know this, but it's good to underscore it. It says, I reprove and discipline those whom I love. You know, another similar passage in Hebrews 12 that I kind of point out quite often is there in verse 5 said, you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. He's quoting from the Old Testament, my children, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him or chastised by him. I think it'd probably be better. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and chastises every child whom he accepts. So when he admonishes to endure trials for the sake of discipline, God is treating you as children. And if you put that together with, like, I'll just start with this, Matthew chapter 7. Here he talks about on the two types of foundations. Let's see, where does it start in verse? Yeah, verse 24. I know we all know this very well. Everyone then who hears those words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains fell. This is exactly what we're talking about. Those I love, I discipline, I chastise. Jesus is talking that way. The writer of Hebrews is talking that way. That's what God does. He said, the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And so that's what's going to happen. That's what is described here in the parable of the soils, Mark chapter 4, exactly what that dynamic. You got the foundation, and it's going to be tested for what it's made of, which is seems like what 1 Corinthians 3 is talking about. Anyway, here, the parable of the soils, he tells the parable about the three types of soils, and the seed, the word of God is scattered on it, and then he describes and unpacks that for his disciples because they didn't understand it. Mark chapter 4, verse 10, when he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that, and he quotes in the Old Testament, They may indeed look, but not perceive. They may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, verse 13, Mark 4, verse 13, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Those are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And he talks about the other type of soil. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. So the first one was sown on the path. Here's on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure what? A test, a trial, the discipline of the Lord. Kind of like Job. For they have no root and endure only for a while. When trouble or persecution arises, on account of the word, on account or because of the word. When you turn to the Lord, Satan's coming after you. Immediately they fall away, and others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the worries of the world, and the attraction and lure of wealth and money and the desire of other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And then it goes on, talks about the soil that bears much fruit and stuff. But yeah, I just think these words between Hebrews chapter 12 and what Jesus says there in Revelations chapter, I think it was chapter 3, verse 19, is totally pointing to the trials and tribulations. Again, you've heard me say it. If we claim to have faith, God is going to allow Satan to come and see if we're really faithful and stuff. So to see, are we building our house on sand, or are we going to build it on the rock? So anyway, just share that.
Yeah, I appreciate the readings as well. And what Brett shared, kind of the thought I was having in Revelations 2:9, the church there in Smyrna. I know your afflictions and your poverty, even though you're rich. I know the slander on the part of which who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Beware, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will be afflicted. The idea that we need these testings and we're going to be afflicted. Even in our country of freedom, I think, we need to be even more aware of the subtle deceptions that are all around us. These were not as subtle. It says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So when we withstand all worldliness and we withstand all, I don't know what all, I guess that includes about everything. Anything that's not of God, anything that's when we make decisions, daily decisions that are not, we allow our work or our work to get in conflict with what's best for a family or best for the church, and we allow ourselves to be distracted with all the things we have around here. It's very subtle and very, I think it's just as dangerous and just as serious, but it's hard to see because it's deceptive. But if we're faithful, I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. So we get a crown. We're not harmed by the second death if we can make those choices that are for Christ. And that'd be just a principle how I think when that's what happens when we forsake all for Christ, we no longer are affected, or at least if we're still affected, that we're fighting out of that, those traps of allowing these things on earth, our flesh, our body, and these things around us to take us into a spiral of making decisions that are not wholesome and not, they are not, we're not making those decisions based on our faith in God, but rather our jobs or our homes, our clothes, our body, or whatever it may be. Appreciate it, and God bless us.
Yeah, one little additional comment that kind of springboards off what my brother just said there. Yeah, this passage, or the mentions of, to him that overcomes or to him that conquers, I will give the tree of life. So keep it in mind, kind of what we were saying, that when you become a Christian, you're entering into war. It's kind of like in the world, at least in this country, you know, you have to sign up for selective service to be able to go into, you turn 18, and if there was a war, you would, you know, kind of thing. It's I guess, somewhat similar to that. You become a Christian, you're going to war. As Paul says, our enemies are, you know, is against, not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual principalities of the kingdoms of the air, of the kingdoms, kingdom of darkness. That's who we're warring against. So to him that overcomes all these difficulties that comes and glorifies God through our, as the scripture says, we said, God scourges those he loves and he disciplines those. And kind of like what Jesus was saying, I don't remember the exact words there in Revelation 3, verse 19, something like that, similar. But yeah, to him that conquers or that overcomes, it's a battle with Satan. Just as Jesus on the cross had a battle with Satan and overcame, so we also in the Christian life, just like the Israelites that were saved out of Egypt and they went through the trial and tribulations in the desert, and if we conquer, then we enter into the promised land and stuff. So
one thing I thought of, another thing, if you overcome, Jesus said, to him that overcomes, I'll give unto him that he may sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. I think that's really, it's really amazing, just what he said. And it's like Jesus also said, a servant is not greater than his master, but everyone that is perfect will be as his master. Just, yeah, thank you for the message.